Welcome to the USPSA podcast. We'll be discussing USPSA, Steel Challenge, and Multigun. We'll be going behind the scenes to talk to area directors about USPSA board procedures and policies, what's in the minutes from the board meetings, and the discussions behind them. The current USPSA bylaws and the minutes can be found at USPSA.org/BOD_minutes and USPSA.org/bylaws. Additional information about USPSA, Steel Challenge, the rules, how to join, announcements, and where to find clubs can also be found at USPSA.org and SCSA.org, and on mobile apps available from app stores.
Welcome back to another USPSA podcast. This is Jake Martins, and I have a special guest joining me, Jason Spradling, who is the Shooting Sports Promotions Marketing Manager for Federal and CCI. Jason, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Jake. It's good to see you again, buddy.
It's good to see you. I haven't seen you since the Nationals in October, so let's talk a little bit about your work within the industry. I know you were with Remington before Federal, but how long have you actually been in the industry?
If you count time working behind a gun counter retail, it's been a little over 20 years. Just celebrated my 11th anniversary with Federal, and I was at Remington for a little over 8 years before that. So.
And at Remington, you kind of did a couple of different jobs. You were a trainer for the most part.
Yeah. So the bulk of my time there was spent with the law enforcement training division, which was a super cool gig, man. We taught armorer school for police departments. So basically we were going around and training cops how to work on their 870s and 700s and diagnose problems and make repairs and keep the guns up and running, all sort of stuff. I got to train in 40 states, 2 Canadian provinces, and Puerto Rico. So it was a really cool gig.
You get to meet a lot of interesting people, especially in the law enforcement side and mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Some really cool stories. I got to meet Bruce Lee. So not the real Bruce Lee. That's a story for another time, but it was pretty funny.
I can tell you that spending time with you on the range and after matches and stuff, you do have quite a few interesting stories from your history in the industry.
Yeah, I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two.
So then you went to Federal 11 years ago, and your first position with Federal was doing what?
I got on with Federal as a sales merchandiser. When they hired me for the position originally, I think the plan was to hire about 10 of me, and then they hired me and quit. And so I don't know if they decided that it wasn't going to get any better or it couldn't get any worse. I don't know, but it was a really cool position. I was working with the sales team, going into the stores, working on displays and stuff, but also doing some training, which has always been my passion is going out and teaching people. So I did that for a few years, and then I had the opportunity once the Vista Outdoor rollout happened, when we split off from ATK, I had the opportunity to put in a proposal to hire a training team. So at one point I had six guys working for me all across the country, and we were going out and doing training for dealers and consumers and, you know, doing a bunch of events and stuff. And we were doing some really, really good stuff. And then once President Trump got elected and the Trump slump hit, there were some layoffs and most of my team got caught up in that. And I got switched over into this shooting sports promotions role. And so we've been doing that for, I guess this is my fourth year.
Yeah, I was going to say our mutual buddy, Justin Johnson, I believe when I met him, which is kind of the introduction to me and Federal and the Syntec action pistol line of ammo was, I think we're coming up on 5 years now. And we have been working together. This will be coming up on the fourth year, 2022, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And so it's been a very, an interesting kind of relationship that we've had around, obviously, the production of the Syntec action pistol ammo, but not just that, but, you know, Federal's involvement with USPSA. But your shooting background before you kind of got into this was more on the hunting side of things, and then long range rifle. I know that you are a big PRS shooter.
Yeah, you know, I grew up hunting and shooting with my dad and my grandfathers and all that sort of stuff, and it had never really had anything to do with competitive shooting, just because I really hadn't been exposed to it, with the exception of one ill-fated IPSC match back in my Remington days. And so when I was running our training team, one of the things we did, this is back when we owned Savage, was called the Savage Trigger Tour. And we did 20 events across the country, and we're taking out all the new guns and ammo and optics and all that sort of stuff, and letting folks, you know, get firsthand experience of the products. And it was a really cool program. It was free. You come out, you know, spend all day shooting and hanging out and all that sort of stuff. And a lot of the ranges we went to had targets at 1,000 yards. And I loved getting those rifles dialed in and taking folks who had never shot over 100 yards and having them banging steel at 1,000. I mean, that was just like the coolest thing ever. And so every year at our sales meeting, we do a big charity auction. And the first year we did it, I bought a Bartline barrel certificate. I bought a chassis. I bought a certificate for the 5-day precision rifle course at Rifles Only down in Texas. And so I built a rifle, got all my ammo squared away, went out to that class, and man, it was fantastic. It was really, really addictive. And so we shot all these drills and stuff the first 4 days. And then the fifth day, Jacob, the guy who owns Rifles Only, told us, he said, now look, he said, we're going to go through and reshoot all the drills that we did during the week, but we're going to shoot them on the clock, just like it would be at a match. And so you guys get to see what a competition really looks like. And I'm not going to lie, I beat everybody pretty bad. And I was like, man, this is great. I have found my thing. You know, I'm really good at this. And fast forward a couple months later, I went to my first rifle match. It was actually a 2-day match out in Iowa. And I think I came in dead last. I remember thinking at one point, this was a terrible idea. I'm horrible at this. Why did I decide to come out here and try this? But I was going into it, I was super duper nervous. You know, I'm thinking these are all alpha male, you know, ex-military, you know, just big tough guys. And I'm not real sure how this is going to work out. And it was the nicest group of people you ever meet in your entire life. I mean, just super, super good folks. And so I really enjoyed shooting the Precision Rifle Series stuff. I shot 11 matches this year. And I'm not in any danger of winning anything, but it's nice to see some incremental improvements from match to match. One thing that I have to do, whether it's PRS or USPSA or whatever, is I have to kind of manage my expectations with workload and family and church and all that sort of stuff. I'm not willing to dedicate the time necessary to get really, really good. And so I have to kind of deal with that a little bit, but it's a really, really good time.
Now, you started doing PRS when it was very new and have watched it grow over the last couple of years. And I mean, it's seen a lot of growth, but Federal has been pretty, Federal and Bushnell have been pretty big in that, helping grow that. And I know that you've been behind some of the ammo production and the custom ammo that Federal is doing for that rifle series.
Yeah. And I think the mindset or the strategy behind it applies to USPSA as well. You know, we're constantly trying to make sure that we are boots on the ground. We're on the range. We're shooting. We're listening to people, trying to find out, you know, what exactly shooters need. Right? Is there an opportunity for a new product? Is there a gap in the marketplace that we can fill? And so it's been really good. And I had a conversation with our leadership early on to say that, you know, doing a demo area with ammo, particularly for rifle, is kind of hard, right? Because I mean, it's difficult to pull off to have any kind of meaningful effect. And so I feel like our time and effort is much, much more productive if I'm actually participating on the line, building relationships and getting to meet folks. And it's worked really, really well.
And I know on the USPSA side of things, when Justin Johnson introduced himself to me, we were actually at Classic Nationals. And he kind of came up and said, "Hey, I'm Justin Johnson with Federal. I'd like to talk to you about ammo." The Syntec line was already out. There was the 115 grain 9mm, the 230 grain, the 165 grain. But we had this whole conversation around, is there a market for a competitive production, you know, big company production ammo? Because at the time, there wasn't really anybody touching that stuff. And that's where the Syntec action pistol line and the bullet weights kind of came into play. I've been up to Federal a couple times. I've met Jason Nash, who is your boss, have worked with Casey Reed. I've even been down in the firing range there underneath the buildings, shooting the ammo as it was kind of being developed, and still have sitting on the shelf out here a couple boxes of the original prototype stuff that was the hand loaded before it went on to the plate loaders and the other style loaders. Yep. And in the first 2 years that you were coming to matches, not only did we get you out there to shoot them, but we did do the demos on the handgun side of it.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things to have people actually grab a gun. I brought down a ton of guns. You had a ton of guns. So there was a table full of guns, which obviously gets anybody's interest to come over there, and then went through and shot the Syntec action pistol ammo that's kind of developed a little bit over the last couple of years with the introduction of the 130 grain PCC round. I know that there's been a few tweaks here and there with the 150s, the 9mm. So it's been a great relationship.
I'll add to that just real quick. You know, what one of the cool things about Federal is that we have people on staff who are avid shooters, right? Like you mentioned, Casey Reed, you know, he's one of our engineers, you know, obviously one of the member of the brain trust behind the Syntec line, behind the action pistol stuff. And we have leadership who understands the value of supporting the shooting sports. So that's been really cool. And then the demo bay thing, you know, for pistol, I think it works really well, especially when we're talking about something like the action pistol Syntec line, where the difference is so dramatic over standard ball ammo. And what I loved about that particular program when we did it at Nationals was that, you know, anybody who was shooting 9mm, 40 or 45 could bring their gun to the demo table, shoot their ammo, and then shoot the Syntec and see the difference or the similarities in real time, face to face, side by side. And you just, because of different chamberings and zeros and all that sort of stuff, you don't have the opportunity to really do that on a rifle side. But for USPSA, it worked great. We had kind of pushed the pause button on the demo bay program for 21 due to the availability situation. It didn't really seem like it would be good optics to be out there ostensibly wasting a bunch of ammo in the midst of an availability issue crisis. And then, you know, part of that too is that I won't say all, but the vast majority of the competitors out there, I think right now, are familiar with Syntec and the performance and how it works and all that sort of stuff. So, but we'll get back to it at some point.
Yeah, that was one of the things that. This year we did pull back from doing that stuff, but you were still on the ground at the matches talking to folks. And one of the things that we pushed through is that we knew with the availability, we looked at the opportunity to be able to set USPSA up as a dealer with your help and purchase ammo in order to sell it at Nationals. And we purchased 250,000 rounds of the 150 grain Syntec. And then we're able to provide that to the competitors. And we sold all 250,000 rounds of it. We finished selling out at the last match. It was a little bit of a logistics issue on our end as far as, you know, storing, keeping the ammo, because we had that gap between May, June, and then October events. Sure. And then just the online ordering and picking up and all that stuff. So we're talking about some different things for 2022 to have some specific vendors possibly being able to do something similar. And we're kind of fishing some of that stuff out now. So don't count it out yet. But what I can tell you is I have been online. I've followed some of the vendors that are out there. 130s and 150s and 205s are out in the marketplace right now, available online. And I was just in a Sportsman's Warehouse last night. That was a new store that opened here in Indianapolis that actually had all that on the shelf. So I was kind of surprised to see that actually on the shelf available right there. So if you're looking to start stocking up for 2022, don't miss the opportunity, because it is out there. I know that you guys have been making it consistently since I believe September, October.
Yeah, we've been, 24/7, 365, turning it out just as fast as we can go. You mentioned stocking up for 2022. I think at some point that's a conversation that we have to have with our competitive shooters, is to understand what they need to be doing in preparation for the next availability crisis. Right? I mean, it's going to happen again. It's cyclical. It's happened in the past, and we don't need to be caught unawares that it's going to happen. So what I've been telling folks is to sit back and take a really good hard look at how much do you actually shoot a year, right? Like how many rounds do you legitimately burn in a normal year? And then you need to be working towards building up that as a safety stock, right? That's your fail safe, and you don't ever want to drop below that number, so that the next time something happens, you're not scrambling trying to piece together ammo, having to go to 10 different stores trying to find what you need. You've got it there on hand. So
yeah, I can tell you that I'm one of those guys that was actually kind of caught off guard and to a certain extreme, where I have been shooting the Syntec Action and I've not been reloading. So when the availability of the 150s, if we weren't able to purchase the 250,000 rounds, then I was able to buy some through the program that we had set up through Nationals. I was going to be out of ammo myself. So I took advantage of having a couple extra 1022s sitting around, and I sold off three or four 1022 rifles and have done the sitting on Brownells or sitting on Midway buying 2,000 primers at a time when they would let me do it, in order to build back up to have about 8,000 small pistol or small rifle primers. And then that PRS match that I went to with you, we walked into the pro shop, me and our buddy Tucker Schmidt, and all of the rifle shooters are over there trying to stab each other for the large rifle primers, where they had a federal gold medal of a 5,000. I mean, the rainbow kind of was shining down on the counter right there, where they had two boxes of 5,000 federal gold small pistol primers. So we arm wrestled each other and decided that Tucker could get a box and I could get a box. And then we had to go and find an ATM somewhere there in that nice small town of Alabama. As we were running our cards through at $100 a time, because that's all this ATM would do at this small little gas station.
Yeah.
but managed to score that. And it wasn't, I mean, it was $350 or 5,000. So I felt lucky, to be honest with you, that I found them.
Yeah, that was another cool thing that we did. And the deal with you guys selling the Syntec ammo last year, as I mentioned earlier, we've got leadership who values the competitive shooting community and sees the value in supporting them. And so when we presented the case last year to leadership, saying, "Hey, we want to allocate some of this ammo to USPSA to support the competitive shooters," and they were all for it. Absolute home run. Let's go do it. Let's support these guys. And so that was very gratifying. And then, on the precision rifle side, we were able to do something similar last year with some primers, because primers were a huge bottleneck for a lot of these guys who hand load. And so we were able to partner with some of our industry folks who are active in that community, to help distribute some primers, and they were only for sale to active competitors. And I think we did a max of 1,000 per person, and they had to be at retail pricing and all that sort of stuff. And it's one of those deals, man. Everybody's been very, very appreciative and very thankful. It's one of those deals where you always wish you could do more, but you know, at the end of the day, you do what you can. So,
let's talk a little bit about shooting here, because we know what we're shooting when we can get the ammo, but your first exposure to USPSA was Nationals, which I believe was 2019. Was it the low cap Nationals?
Probably. I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah. So you're gung-ho ready to get in there, and I'm making some assumptions. You kind of come up and you're like, hey, they're telling me I need to be a member to shoot Nationals. So it was like, yeah. Well, I took care of that. I bought your membership for you, got you out there, squatted with you. And it was, I mean, going into Nationals is not an easy match to get into. And you learned a few things, and that's all we're going to say about that match.
I did learn a few things. I learned what the 180 was. So I got that figured out pretty quick.
Don't feel bad. Rick Brazzo, our director of IT, who's monitoring this little conversation right now, his first USPSA match was Nationals, and he learned what the 180 was at PCC Nationals as he goes running off to the left side. So, and I think that was kind of the same thing, right? You were doing a reload going to your left and just kind of broke your wrist.
Yeah. That's what happened. But luckily enough, that really hadn't been an issue since, I don't think. So that's been good. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, as I was talking about earlier, and I don't have or am not willing to allocate the time and resources necessary to get where I want to be with that. You know, I'm a naturally competitive person. Like I want to get out there and be a world beater, right? But it's not going to happen, right? I'm not putting in world champion effort. I can't expect world champion results. But it's been a lot of fun, and I've actually seen a lot of improvement over the past 2 years with, you know, understanding how to break down stages and how to move and how to reload and so forth. And so when the very first USPSA match I ever shot was actually with Justin Johnson up in Minnesota. It was a little local club match. We were up there for work, and I shot his wife, Nikki. I shot her 45. And dude, you could clock my reloads on a sundial. It was the ungodliest thing you've ever seen in your life. It was terrible, but it was a lot of fun. And so, you know, these matches they're a ton of fun. And I'm excited to get out there and do it every time. I've actually got my son Hunter. He's 14. He started shooting some action pistol stuff with me. So it's a good time.
Yeah. And I know that as we've kind of progressed over the last couple of years, you've added some gear. I know that we've worked on some holsters and some belts, and you know, you're ready to roll. You've shot Steel Challenge with us a couple of times.
Yeah.
And just coming out of the back-to-back Nationals, you shot Carry Optics. So we're going to work on getting you the correct kind of Carry Optics gun.
No, we're not.
Again, we won't talk about that, but your everyday carry Glock 19, which looks like you were shooting a cap gun in your big meaty hands, was still a fun match, and you've now shot your first three gun match.
Yes, I have. So my responsibilities as shooting sports promotions manager, I handle pistol, rifle, and three gun. So all the pistol disciplines, all the rifle disciplines, and then obviously three gun or multi gun. And I have actively avoided shooting three gun for a lot of years. Like I have actively made the decision I'm not going to do this because it looked like a crap ton of fun, and it looked like it'd be really, really easy to get sucked into. And so having sponsored a bunch of matches but never actually participated in one, Tucker Schmidt and I had the opportunity to shoot the Pro-Am match at Clinton House. It's title sponsored by Microtech. back in September, October, somewhere in that time frame.
Right there at the end of September.
Yep. And it was absolutely as much fun as I thought it was going to be. And it is absolutely as addictive as I thought it was going to be. And one of the things that I was kind of curious to see going into it and was going to kind of, I guess, inform my decision on how I wanted to participate going forward was how did I perform, right? Did I embarrass myself? Did I look like I knew what I was doing, whatever? And I actually did okay. Tucker and I finished in second place as a team. I think I was eighth among the amateurs, and I finished overall right smack dab in the middle of the pack. So I was thinking, man, you know, for your first match, that's probably not too bad. And so since October, I've bought an open pistol and an open shotgun and more gear and so forth and so on. So it's funny that, you know, my wife knows several of your guys' names and a lot of you're on her bad list. You know, you guys are a bad influence, she says.
You can blame the three gun. I was there. I was at Clinton House. That's when we were finishing up the multi-gun nationals contract with the Chris and Chad, the guys who own Clinton House. Mm-hmm. And I got to see a little bit of you in action at three gun. And you came over. I mean, I heard the vacuum sucking you in as you came walking off that stage that I watched. And I think you walked right up to Mike Whiteside from Dissident Arms and said, "Okay." You walked over there like a single guy in a bar with your credit card stuck to your forehead and said, "Give me what I need."
That's right. Hey, if you're going to do it, right?
I had nothing to do with any of that. So you can let your lovely wife know. All I said was that we needed a carry optics gun.
Yeah,
that was it.
Yeah. And, you know, so I started to shoot the Pro-Am match in TAC Ops. And I purchased had a Remington Versamax that was lightly modified. And, man, I had been practicing my quad load going into it. And, buddy, I look like John Wick getting that thing loaded up here in my basement, you know, practicing up and all sort of stuff. And then I get to the match, and it was like Hansel and Gretel, right? You could follow me around by the loaded shot shells laying on the ground for loading that stupid shotgun. And so I decided, hey, if I'm going to participate, I'm shooting open. And if I never load a tube-fed shotgun ever again, it'll be too soon.
Well, I can tell you that the last multi-gun nationals that we had there in Florida is when I DQ'd from going into the dump barrel with my shotgun. And then the next year, but the next one was the Area 6 match where I tried using a heavily modified low-end box-fed shotgun that there was a stage that Shannon had set up in that house that you could do, if you wanted to do it, you could slug all the paper targets and then do a little bird shot on some stuff, which ended up being like 35 rounds. So after I shot the stage, I had to pick the optic back up, you know, push the trigger pins back in. The comp was sideways on there. Mm-hmm. So, I got a proper, Tac Ops shotgun. So I do not have the box fed. I know you showed me yours. And I kind of eyed wide open on that. So we'll see. We may have to borrow that come April for the multi-gun nationals.
Yeah. I can't wait to get out and shoot it, man. That's going to be fantastic.
All right. So that takes us into 2022 and what we got planned with, you guys, with Federal and with you, specifically. And we're first going into multi-gun nationals. And I know that we just recently kind of, worked out all the details with what Federal is going to come back as far as a sponsor. The first thing that I want to make people aware of is that this in 2021, I came to you and said, we have an opportunity to do live streaming, that we're going to start building a live streaming program that's going to kind of be an ongoing effort to make it better with each match. And we went directly to our, you know, largest partner and said, do you guys want to get in on this with us and help support it financially with a financial donation for sponsoring the live stream? So in case anybody wants to know that's out there, the live streaming for 2021 was provided by Federal. We took a certain percentage of what would go on to the prize table, figured that out, what that cash would be, which allowed us to purchase some of the initial software and hardware to get up and running with live streaming. And I know that you were instrumental in taking that to Jason Nash, saying, here's a great opportunity. And you guys are back doing that again in 2022.
Yeah, it was a really neat opportunity that I don't think anybody else in the shooting sports has really done. And going back and looking at the results, looking at the numbers, you know, all the people that watched and how long they watched and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it was a home run, man. I mean, it was really, really good. And so, you know, it's just another avenue to get the name out there and to help support the sport. And for folks who, you know, maybe weren't able to make nationals or they've got a buddy shooting and they want to see how they're doing, all that sort of stuff. It's a really cool idea. You guys did a great job with it.
Yeah. So I don't have the numbers here in front of me. I had sent them to you earlier, a couple weeks ago. We're going to put that information out when we do the article for nationals in the next issue of the magazine. But that was one of the things that when we first went back and looked, the average watch time was about 33 minutes, if I'm not mistaken, for the overall length of the program that we would do. We were kind of splitting it up and doing different days. And that was what it came out of the last national. So it's grown. The audience has grown with each event. Mm-hmm. Because we started at world speed with it. I do have a little bit of bad news though, because of where Clinton House is at and with the natural terrain kind of stuff, we're not really going to have the ability to do live stream on, multi-gun nationals. We're going to try to figure out how we can do it up in the Bay Area, but in case anybody's not been to Clinton House, there's a lot of natural terrain. It's 2,800 acres. I believe they have 15 or 16 bays that we're going to be using some of the bay style stuff, which is going to be some bay to bay and some static things that are on there. But we have to try to figure out how live streaming is going to work with that. I know it's not going to work out in the natural terrain areas.
Yeah, probably not.
Unless we get Rick to climb up in a tree, strap himself up there like a lumberjack with a helmet cam and see how that works out.
But we're a great idea.
Well, yeah, Rick, you're listening in. How do you feel about that? He's not going to respond.
Yeah, probably not a good idea.
Yeah. All right. Some of the other stuff that we talked about is actually seeing some product back on the prize table in 2022. So we're going to work around some of that. But let's talk a little bit about this video series idea that you came to me and said, "Hey, I got an idea about a video series to help kind of introduce competition shooting to new gun owners or gun owners that haven't thought about going out to competition." And this kind of came from your experience coming into USPSA on, "Dude, I don't know what's going on."
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for me personally, the background behind all this goes back to my training background, right? When I ran our training team, we had a kind of a team motto. And I don't remember who said it initially, but it basically says, at the moment of truth, you will not rise to the occasion. You will fall to your level of training, right? And so when we would go work these retail events and talk to consumers, I was constantly amazed at the number of people who would say, "Okay, I'm buying this handgun for home defense or self-defense." And you go, "Okay, cool. Well, you know, that's great. You need to go get some training." "Eh, I don't want to spend the money on it." Well, you're willing to spend, you know, $1,000 on your handgun setup, but you're not going to train with it, right? You're not going to become proficient with the tool that you are presumably buying to defend your life or the life of your family. That didn't make any sense to me, right? And so through my experience of getting involved in USPSA and the increase in my skill set that I've seen in the past couple of years, it seemed like a home run to be able to recommend to people that, you know, if you're serious about defensive handgun use and you're buying your first handgun you need to build proficiency with the gun, right? You're not going to do that in your backyard shooting at a paper plate. You're not going to do it at most public shooting ranges where you can't draw from a holster, you can't move, you can't rapid fire, you can't do any of that. You may learn basic gun safety and function, but you're not going to learn how to use that platform under stress, right? And so I think that's a main focus, at least for me, of the videos that we're talking about, is talking to all these millions of new gun owners to say, hey, here's an opportunity for you to build proficiency with your new gun, right? And at the same time, make some really cool friends, get to see a lot of cool stuff, get to be part of an awesome community, you know, all that stuff. But one of the things that I've identified from talking to folks is they think the action pistol stuff looks really, really cool. They think it looks like a huge amount of fun, but at the same time, they don't have any idea where to start, right? They don't have any idea what this looks like. Much like me, you know, I think the very first nationals I went to, we were running demo bay and had a customer with a question about our ammo making power factor in his gun. It's like, okay, cool. Bring it over. We'll check it out. So he brings me the gun. I lock it open, go walking over to the chrono bay. And those guys like had a heart attack that I didn't have that gun in a bag. And I'm like, why is it supposed to be in a bag? It's locked open. You know, there's no magazine. It's perfectly safe. So it's just stuff like that. You know, it wasn't me flaunting the rules or disregarding the rule. I didn't know the rules, right? It was just complete ignorance on my part. And so I think for a lot of folks, there's a lot of intimidation behind going to a match. They don't know what gear they need. They've never seen a safety table, right? They don't have any idea what any of that is. And so I think a lot of folks, they're a little scared they're going to do something wrong, and they're letting that intimidation keep them from even starting to participate. So what you and I had discussed and what we're moving forward with is to do some video content to talk about why should you shoot USPSA, right? What does this offer you? And then once you make the decision to shoot it, you know, what do you need? What are the different divisions? What's it look like when you actually go to a match, right? What can you expect? What are the range commands? What are you allowed to do? What are you not allowed to do? Things of that nature so that we can help dispel some of that intimidation. And at the end of the day, man, it's all about growing the sport, right? I mean, we want to see USPSA be successful. We want to see the membership continue to grow. And then, I mean, frankly, selfishly, we want more competitive shooters, right? I mean, you guys burn a lot of ammo. I mean, we really, really like that. So the more we grow the sport, the better it is for us. You know, it's awesome. But at the same time, helping folks become more proficient with their guns, you know, it's a home run. It's win-win.
And I think, you know, as we've kind of talked through this series, anybody that's been in this for 2 or 3 or 4 years, or in my case, this is my, you know, 22nd year of competition shooting between IDPA and USPSA, we forget things like, you know, where do you find a match? And once I find a match, you know, what do I do when I get there?
Right.
And because of my schedule, you know, I haven't been to a lot of my local club matches like I used to. I mean, I used to, within 2 hours of Indianapolis, I could shoot 4 club matches a year or a month, and would go and see those new competitors and see those people out there and have those questions. And I've been kind of taken away from that and have here in the last couple of months been able to go and shoot some club matches and see some of those new shooters and hear those same questions. It's like, I didn't know where to find this. I watched Nationals coverage on Shooting USA, but outside of that, or videos on YouTube or Instagram, I thought were really cool. I didn't know what to do next. And that's the idea behind this video series. And to even take it a little bit further, working with Shooting USA, we have done some of the NROI tips. We've done some, what is USPSA, what is Steel Challenge. So we're starting to scratch the surface on being able to put a package together to promote practical shooting, Steel Challenge. And it's going to be great to work with you guys to take it to the next level. Rick and I are going to start working on a landing page So when you land on the USPSA website, hopefully here in the very near future, there'll be kind of an interactive guide to that new gun owner or new to competition shooting, how to get started and where to go from there.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And then the other thing I've been thinking about too, Jake, is we need to help people manage their expectations of, you watch the stuff on Shooting USA, you watch the videos on YouTube of Tucker Schmidt or JJ Ricazza or one of those guys. That's not going to be you, right? You're like your first match. That's not you, right? You're not going to win anything. You're there to learn and have some fun and all that sort of stuff. So there's a ton of options for topics.
Oh yeah, definitely. And that's, like I said, this is my 22nd year of doing competition shooting, and I have mixed in quite a bit of training into the self-defense. And I actually have transitioned some to where I was shooting the same gun I carry every day in competition for about 3 years. Probably going to be working back towards that in 2022. So there is a lot of crossover into just the practical application of how to manipulate a handgun at speed, being able to put rounds on target at speed, but you're not going to be winning nationals or your area championship. Those are guys that, they've spent a lot of time doing it. It doesn't mean that you're not going to benefit from coming out even just to your local club match. You're going to see guys that you're going to do really, really cool stuff really, really fast at your local club match, and that you can learn from as well.
Yeah, it's all about managing expectations, right? And having your own personal goal going into the match, right? If your goal getting started in USPSA is to be a world champion, that's great. I'm all for it. Put in the hours, put in the work, and chances are you're going to go pretty far. If on the other hand your personal goal is to build better proficiency with your gun, then that's much more readily attainable for most folks. Yeah, I take it back to a mutual friend of ours who shot his first 2-day PRS match this past year. I guess it was back in September. It was the same match you came to in Alabama with us. So he was really, really disappointed in his performance. And I'm saying, man, this is your first 2-day match. What did you think was going to happen? Right. Did you really think you were going to come here and win this? I mean, this is not easy. Right. So yeah, it's all about having an understanding of why you're there and then making sure that you capitalize on those opportunities.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that keeps me coming back year over year over year is the community as well. Mm-hmm. It is the most welcoming community of like-minded people. There are people that are out there that are type A personalities that are out there to win, but they're also out there to help you succeed as well. And when you go to matches, you've seen this, and I saw it at the PRS match. I've seen it all over the place where your fellow competitor that you're competing against is giving you a stage breakdown or giving you windage or giving you distance at the PRS match. Yep. Where, and there are tons of opportunities that are out there for learning and finding training within this community as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're spot on. It's a great community in the shooting sports as a whole. And I think what I have figured out is that these guys want to beat you, right? And they want to absolutely embarrass you, but they want to do it when you're at your best, right? And they want to make sure that you're on the top of your game, that they don't want any head starts or any kind of, unfair advantage. They want to beat you up head to head. And so, I've seen guys, their gun goes down in a USPSA match, or their scope craps out in a PRS match, and you've got active competitors on the same squad going, dude, I've got an extra one in the car. Let me go grab this for you. We'll get you up and running and let's go get it. Right. And it's a really, really cool community.
Yeah. Yeah. I can tell you at Open Gun Nationals on the squad that I was on, I think there was two guys that were down to borrowing somebody else's backup gun. Mm-hmm. And I believe you shared your open gun in that same kind of situation with somebody.
I did, bless her heart. Kenzie Fitzpatrick had I think through the first three stages, she had gone through three guns and none of them were working.
And Kinsey three gun is not because she only shoots three guns. It's because it's how many guns it takes for her to get through a match.
Right.
And she's going to hate me for saying that, but it's true.
That's funny. And so I just happened to have my new open pistol that I had just bought in the truck. And I was like, hey, if you want to shoot this, we'll get you squared away. And so got her a case of Syntec action pistol and got her hooked up with the holster. And man, she ran that thing like a sewing machine. It was great. It was really, really fun to watch.
And it still worked afterwards. So you're good to go.
Yeah. I'm the jinx breaker.
All right. So the federal team, mm-hmm. you guys have quite a extensive shooting team. I think you've got a couple people that you may be adding in 2022. I don't know if you're able to talk about that yet or not, but yeah. I know that you've got some guys that have did some amazing things last year that we're still expecting some cool stuff out of coming into this year. Some world records were beat by a couple of those kids.
Yep. Yeah. So we've got a really, really good team. And my theory has always been that I want the best people who also just happen to shoot really, really well. Right. And so I've said a million times, I'd a whole lot rather take the fifth or sixth guy who's a super good guy than take, you know, somebody who may be the best in the world, but not necessarily the best personality. Right. Not to say that the top shooters are bad personalities, but you get where I'm going.
Right.
So our team currently, you know, these guys are awesome. You know, they're super good and super good guys, real good ambassadors for the sport. People that I don't have to worry about going out and doing something stupid or embarrassing. And they do a fantastic job representing our brand. And we have added a couple of shooters this year. We're having a conversation with the third one now that hopefully we can announce here in the coming days. But we just added Travis Tomasi to the team. And Travis has been, you know, widely known as one of the nicest people in the sport for forever. He's probably the most positive person I've ever met in my entire life. Just really, really nice guy. And I can remember in my early days at Remington watching videos of him doing reloads and just being like, holy crap, that is insane. And it's even more insane in person. Right. So Travis is super, super awesome guy. And we're really excited to have him on the federal team. And then we also added Todd Jarrett. Todd, you know, been around for forever, very well known, very well respected in the sport, heck of a shooter. And again, that same prototype that we're looking for, somebody that, you know, is a great ambassador for the sport, constantly helping people out, but still a top level competitor, whether we're talking about pistol or three gun, which he's getting back into this year. He just shot Fort Benning and got the top senior and finished eighth overall. So, I mean, that's a huge performance. I think he'd been out of it for 2 years, and he's actually talking about starting to get into some precision rifle stuff as well. So both of those guys are really good additions to the team for sure.
Yeah, I've actually one of the Todd Jarrett story. One of the first area matches I ever went to, I drove over to Area 8, and I go walking up. And this is back when we used to print the scores out and staple them to a wall. And I'd only seen, you know, Todd Jarrett in magazine kind of stuff. And I'm walking up and say hi to him, and he starts explaining to me the scores and where I need to. I mean, we're not even down walking a stage. He's looking at a piece of paper printed on a wall saying, hey, on this stage right here, it's really tricky. You got to keep your eye out on this one. And I'm not going to try to do the Todd Jarrett accent that John Scouten does such an amazing job. But I mean, he's going through all this stuff and I'm like, oh, I have no clue what you're talking about, but I appreciate the help. And the same guy shot the two gun nationals with, and he's given us stage breakdowns, going through, showing us, you know, there was a couple of stages that I'm just kind of standing back going, and I helped put these stages on the ground and design them. And Todd's over here going, no, you don't want to do that. That's dumb. Come over here. Let me show you how to shoot the stage. So right. It's like, all right. I appreciate the help, Mr. Jarrett.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's the kind of competitor he is. Right. And it's just like we were talking about earlier. You know, I think I think normal wisdom would say, keep that to yourself, right? And that's a competitive advantage. But no, he's trying to help somebody else do it the right way and help them be the best they can be. And that's fantastic.
And when it comes to Travis DeMasi, I mean, there's a time where I sat there and counted how many times he said, "Aw, shucks." And it was a lot.
Yeah.
But I actually have a call with him and Masterpiece Arms, his new sponsor that he's working for, and Phil Cashin with the new guns that they're building for competition shooting. So yeah, we're pretty excited about working with those guys and working with you guys into 2022. So my goal is always to keep these under an hour, because I think if anything goes over an hour, people quit listening and we just start, you know, being repetitive and babbling on about stuff. Although I always have an amazing time hanging out and talking with you, because it's a lot of fun. So anything else you want to add in to what we can see with you in Federal in 2022, or are we just going to get excited about the shooting season next year?
You know, man, we're going to be, we'll be boots on the ground at all the nationals events. And we're going to be at three gun and rifle. If anybody ever has an opportunity, please come up and say, hey, if there's anything we can help you with, let us know. Really honored and appreciative to have the opportunity to be a part of the community, and appreciate all the support from the shooters and from you guys. And we're excited about moving forward. Oh, one thing that I did want to mention that's going to be pretty big for us next year is 2022 is the 100th anniversary of Federal. So that's going to be pretty cool. I've got some
commemorative packaging on a few things.
Probably. I just got the proof back. I've got some commemorative 100th anniversary PVC patches that will be given out in swag bags and stuff this year. So that'll be cool.
Awesome. Yeah, that is great. Well, as always, Mr. Spradling, I have enjoyed speaking with you, talking about what we got going on. I want to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas, and I will see you shortly, sir.
Thank you, buddy. Merry Christmas to you.
To find out more about USPSA and Steel Challenge, visit USPSA.org or SCSA.org. Download the USPSA and SCSA mobile apps available in your app store. Check out the NROI.org podcast available on your favorite podcast platform. All rights for this podcast are reserved. No portion of this podcast may be used or redistributed without written permission from the USPSA president. Rules and bylaw discussions on this podcast do not constitute official rulings or bylaw change. Discussions on this podcast are meant to inform and educate. If you have questions or want to reach out to your area director or USPSA office staff, visit uspsa.org/contact.